Stay tuned after the show for a message from Chevron.
Money makes the world go round, and banks keep the money moving. But what if they are actually walking us towards the edge of a cliff?
I think the financial sector has been causing climate change through the projects that it invests in for as long as lending has been around.
Banks' funding of the fossil fuel industry has gone up every single year since the Paris Agreement was signed.
If you have these big capital-intensive projects, you're not going to be able to pay for them out of pocket. You're often going to be doing this through debt financing.
There was a great piece written in the New York Times. Bill McKibben was one of the writers. We want people to understand that the money inside the vaults of banks like Chase is driving the climate crisis. Cutting off that flow of cash may be the single quickest step we can take to rein in the fossil fuel industry.
Where you're seeing things change a little bit is this emphasis on promoting green infrastructure. You're starting to see a lot more focus from financial institutions on that front. But even though the world has known about the need to decarbonize to prevent rapid runaway climate change, banks have been slow to catch up.
In the last 3 years, according to data compiled by a group of environmental organizations, JP Morgan Chase lent over $195 billion to gas and oil companies. Wells Fargo lent over $151 billion.
The EU is moving in a more regulation-friendly zone. That is something that is coming down the pike. And many of these banks are multinational. So a lot of them are already having to abide by certain reporting mechanisms, and money is global. The U.S. is playing a little bit of catch up here, but I think that you're going to see closer alignment across borders.
I'm Anthony Adragna. This is Politico Energy, and today,
what John Kerry wants to do is help bring finance into this conversation. So this is just an attempt to get ahead of the game.
Zach Coleman on the U.S. climate envoy John Kerry's crusade to get concrete climate commitments from the U.S. big banks. It's Tuesday, March 16th.
So as of this month, all six of the major Wall Street banks have made some sort of pretty big sweeping climate announcement. Five of them have said they're going to go net zero by as late as 2050. These are banks that commit hundreds of billions of dollars to fossil fuel finance. There's really no way to address climate change wholesale without getting financial lending under control and to stop spending money on projects that pollute the atmosphere.
It seems like one of the criticisms is that we do have these commitments, but they're pretty vague, right? And that's where John Kerry comes in.
So yeah, these commitments have been vague so far. I mean, a lot of long-term targets being set by CEOs and boards that are not going to be around when 2050 or 2040 or whatever comes around. So John Kerry is going to these personal meetings with people he knows, some friends, but he is trying to get some more near-term targets, because what you really want is the people who are making these commitments now to feel like they have some skin in the game. So that would require more near-term actions. And when you think about it, if you want to get on top of climate change, these are financing institutions that are putting money behind projects that will last for 20 to 30 to 40 years. Think about a pipeline or a power plant. Like, these are not things that are just one-off investments. They have long lives. So part of John Kerry's pitch is, let's put money behind good things that will last, not behind stuff that will pollute the planet for decades.
And what are some of the ideas that he's been discussing with these institutions?
Well, so from my sources have told me that he's discussed a net zero banking alliance, some sort of grand statement that can be made in tandem with this climate leader summit that President Biden wants to host next month. But at this point, it's more about greening finance. It's about putting money behind renewable energy. It's maybe more public-private partnerships where the federal government uses some public money to take care of some initial investments in heavily indebted countries. And then that kind of creates a pathway for private money to come in as those investments have been de-risked to a degree.
In terms of the sector's expectations, it sounds like they think that, you know, mandatory requirements or disclosure requirements are coming. Do they have other expectations about what the government may do in, with regards to this?
You know, I don't think that the financial sector expects too much more than mandatory disclosures for publicly listed companies at this point in time. But there's certainly a large roster of asks from financial watchdogs and environmental groups. I mean, environmental groups and financial watchdogs would like to see capital requirements for banks that have an excessive amount of fossil fuel loans on their books. So, you know, you could see that type of fight happening on Capitol Hill at some point, potentially. Although I don't think that that's where we're heading in this moment. You've already seen some Republicans start to raise hackles about that kind of idea of capital requirements for financial institutions. So it's definitely percolating a little bit, but I think where you're going to start is the mandatory risk disclosure. And we're not even sure if we're going to get there, but I think you're definitely going to see risk disclosure. So that's where we start.
Also, the EPA is taking back two of the Trump administration's final regulations on air pollution. Yesterday, the agency announced it is reconsidering the December rulings that left unchanged limits on particulate matter and national air quality standards for ground-level ozone. Last year, then-EPA Administrator Andrew Wheeler justified not tightening these regulations by questioning the public health benefits they would have had. But now, under Michael Regan, a former air quality regulator from North Carolina, the agency has said it will revisit these decisions. Fully reconsidering these two regulations will take at least a year. For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our newsletter at politico.com/morningenergy. If you want to support our show, the best way to do it is by leaving us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening. I'm Anthony Dragna. Talk to you again tomorrow.
Last year, Chevron invested billions of dollars to bring affordable, reliable, ever cleaner energy to America. Because it's only human to work toward a brighter future. Learn more at chevron.com.